Hi and hello, Watch fans, and welcome to an on-site edition of The Real Time Show with me, your friendly neighborhood watchmaker, Rob Nuts, and my co-host, the friendly neighborhood jeweler,
Alombe Joseph, and not all the way from Amsterdam, like you always say, but down in Geneva at the PAL Expo, and we're here at our friends at Ulysse Nardin with Mathieu Havelan. Mathieu, good to see you.
Great to have you on the booth.
It's a pleasure to be here. We had dinner with your lovely colleagues last night and really enjoyed the hospitality of Ulysse Nardin so far. And now we've been blown away by the setting in which we're having this meeting. It is definitely, in my opinion, the most striking stand that you've created, we've seen all day, right? I mean, the best one I've seen. Tell us about that for people that aren't here. What is it that they can see if they visit Ulysse Nardin at Watches and Wonders 2024?
So we obviously, you know, took inspiration from last year. When you've got a recipe that works, it's okay to keep it for a few years. So we decided to have the same spirit of you being within the watch. And because Freak is, again, the masterpiece that we are launching this year, you know, it's like being in a theater. So what you see is basically a 10 meter by 10 meter Freak S, the novelty that we are launching. You are within the watch. You've got also a huge incline mirror. So it's very playful, you know, like you can take pictures and you feel that you are within the watch. So pretty playful. But it's also about serious watchmaking because we are talking about the Freak S, which is the most, one of the most complicated movement we've ever created.
Looks like it's a little bit easier to work on at 10 by 10 meters than it is in real life, though. So how big is the movement when it's actually on the wrist? It's much smaller.
Yes, so it's encased in a watch which is 45 mil. But actually, we spend a lot of time on the ergonomy. So it's 45 mil, but you've got shock lugs, and it feels really great on the wrist. So it's very wearable based on the, I would say, highly visual movement.
So how is the fair going for you so far? You've been here now for, well, I guess this is your first day, right? So how's it been?
Look, feels great. I think it's going to be the best Watches and Wonders ever because we're going to be able to engage with a lot more final consumer than before. And two, I believe that also the fair is moving from only traditional press to more, you know, the digital, I would say, people that are really making a difference and moving the needle online, and hence the discussion we have. So I think it's very much more diverse and complete, engaging with all the main stakeholders. So we are very happy with the first results since this morning.
Very good to hear. Yeah, I mean, we want to talk a little bit about your background because, amazingly, you've never been on The Real Time Show. We've had representatives from the brand before, but never you. And, of course, we want you back for a full episode when time permits. But right now, could you give us a little bit of background on you, your career, where you came from, how you found your way to Ulysse Nardin?
So I'm French. I was born in Corsica, south of France, you know, the island where Napoleon was born, in the same city, Ajaccio. Look, I grew up in France. My mother was taking care of, poor kids in France. And my father had a passion for being a pilot one day. So he was at the beginning of mechanics and lately became a pilot. So nothing to do with watches. But it happened that one day, I think I was 15 years old. I was walking in Paris. And I remember stopping by a shop window. It was written Antoine de Macedo. And it was selling vintage watches. I entered that shop. I think I left after maybe an hour and a half. And remember, I was 15, a hat, baggy jeans. So not the typical consumer, but the watchmaker inside filled me with passion. And it has never stopped before. So at some point, obviously, you know, I knew one day I wanted to work in the watch industry. So I worked first as a representative for Zin Watches in France, then to Hamilton in France with the Swatch Group. After that, 6 years with Jaeger-LeCoultre. And I've been working for UN for the last 7 years. And I'm part of the team who did the management buyout. So I'm a co-owner of the brand. And I've been the managing director of the company now since the 1st of February.
Congratulations on your promotion. Well deserved. I had the honor to work with you already for 7 years. You were always a killer, super professional. It really radiates holistically 360 how Ulysse Nardin evolved and you found your stride. We see it in the collections. We see it in the team. You yourself look fit. well-dressed, obviously as a sneakerhead. I have to compliment you on your Jordans. For those that can't see him, beautiful sand color, suit, top. The sneakers are matched together with his freak S on his wrist, two-tone. How would you say that Ulysse Nardin, ever since your independence, evolved from your perspective? And what liberation did it give you? And how does that translate into the products?
You know, I was saying to the team almost, you know, a couple of weeks after becoming independent that becoming independent has probably been the most successful PR campaign we ever made. Because you really had, we've seen consumers coming to our doors and buying our watches since we became independent. So I think being independent, and you know, we've been owned by the five generation of Nardin, then by Holschneider, an entrepreneur, then by Kering from 2014 to 2022, and now we are becoming independent. So for the most part of the history of UN, UN has been independent. I would say that we had within Kering Group a lot of freedom because, you know, they gave us trust in the way to run the companies. They were, I think, also confident enough and honest also to say that probably the best way for those companies to succeed and keep succeeding is to be independent, hence the management buyout. And I think what has changed within the company is to really cultivate that feeling of being entrepreneurs, testing things, small scales, and, you know, scale up when you know it's working. Everybody can have an opinion. We all work hard. We're all passionate about watches, about what we do. And I think you can feel that when meeting the people on the booth, you feel that energy. And I think the level of energy and passion within the company is on a much higher level since we become independent.
So we had the honor to interview Jean-Christophe Sabatier last summer during Geneva Watch Days. Another example of influential team members. It's visible to the public, and which I personally think offers also an opportunity for more people to form a human connection with the brand. But what was the thinking about this more democratic presentation of the brand?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, an example that I've gave to our teams is I was thinking about, you know, MBNF, and I absolutely love what they do. And they sell about 300 something watches, and they are very connected to the final consumer. And I said to them, you know, even though we sell, you know, less than 10,000 watches a year, we need to be connected to the final consumer the way MBNF is connected to the final client. So as a brand, we need to make ourselves more approachable. Therefore, and I'm applying that self to myself, you know, I'm on properly on Instagram for about a year or something. I've got quite now loads of messages. I answer them all. People need to feel that they can get access to the people behind the brand. Whether it's myself or the team members, we need to be more approachable for the collectors.
What's the handle, please, on Instagram?
My name? Yeah, so it's Mathieu, M-A-T-T-H-I-E-U. Havalan, my family name. H-R-A-V-E-R-L-A-N. So Mathieu Havalan.
So how this also expresses itself, you do a more humor. The bag with the beautiful novelties says, freak, my favorite F word. So that's something that I like. So kudos to you. The team members here are walking around with necklaces with freak on it. So for me, that's also a visualization of the liberalization of being independent again.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, first of all, UN is about serious watchmaking. We are authentic watchmaking. The freakess is a technical prowess, right? And there is very few companies that are able to do what we do. But at the same time, being independent, but also it is true to the DNA of UN. You know, if you think about the way the Freak has been launched by Holschneider in 2001, I wish I would have been there to see that at that time. It's been done in a very different way, very unconventional way. So that is a pattern of the entrepreneurs, of the independents, and we want to cultivate that and keep cultivating that pretty much in everything we do, especially when we have an opportunity to engage with the watch community.
Now that you are independent and you're engaging with customers so directly, I'm curious to know what three things you would like the brand of Ulysse Nadan to inspire in the minds of those people.
I think the first thing is I want to make sure that people knows and understand the story of the freak. You know, I remember being about a year and a half during the Geneva Watch days, meeting with George Benford, and I love George, and I was wearing my Freak X, and he said to me, wow, that's an amazing watch that you are wearing, can I have a look at it? And I just realized that actually George never had the opportunity to really understand and wear the Freak X, you know, like 3 years after launching the product. So there is still so many people that do not know about it. So the first thing is, and that's why we've been focusing on the Freak, we need to tell the story of the Freak that changed the game of contemporary watchmaking at the beginning of the year 2000. That's the first point. The second point is UN is authentic. And we will always, you know, say what we have to say about the brand. I always gave the example of, you know, there is so much that we do, but we are only talking a bit about it. And I want to leverage social media. I want to leverage podcasts to voice what we've been doing and not being shy, you know, and hiding behind, you know, a couple of stories. There is a lot to say to the consumers. And third element is you can really expect from UN to keep surprising you in many ways in the future. I think it's probably what the customers are expecting. They expect serious watchmaking, but they expect the brand to not take itself too seriously. And I want to make sure that that continues at the company culture.
Very good indeed. Talking about the Freak S and the developments that went into that, are you able to share with us anything that's coming in the future, in the next 5 years, for example? Are we going to build on this existing platform? Are we going to see more things of the same or something else entirely?
You know, I had a customer recently. He was not yet customer at that time, but he told me, you know, you launched the Freak X, the Freak 1, the Freak S. I'm hesitating between the Freak 1 and the Freak X, and maybe I'm going to wait for the next Freak to be launched. And I said, hold on, you know, now the collection is complete. We went from one product at a time to a collection with X, 1, and S, and those collections are here to stay. And it's important to say, because it's also a point of reassurance for the collector to say that, okay, X is not something that is, you know, in and out, it's here to stay. Same for the 1, same for the S. The goal for the years to come, it's to be able to also convey the leading and pioneering spirit of the brand throughout the rest of the collection. Because before the Freak, I mean, Ulysse Nardin had, you know, shaken the watchmaking industry multiple times, you know, leading the chronometry on the seas for over a century, or being the inventor of many world firsts. So we want to leave more space also for the Marine, for the Divers, and for the Blast collection.
That's good news for me, because I love the Marine, you know that.
And I love the Freak X, which I had the honor to wear many years. For those that are not that familiar with Ulysse Nardin, can you please briefly explain why it's so special and what a carousel is? Because it's basically a carousel movement. And maybe the differences between the S1 and X quickly.
Yeah. So we've got three models in the collection, X, 1, and S. The common point of them is that it's a carousel. So you're going to have basically the full escapement, so the most important and yet tiny part of the movement, you know, the escapement wheel, the balance wheel, the hairspring, the anchor, that are going to make a revolution, because in fact, they are on the part of the movement that indicate the minute, because the movement gives you the time, gives you the minute. And that will make, therefore, a revolution within 60 minutes, within 1 hour. So because you've got that... all the escapement making a revolution on itself is not fixed. It's called a carousel. But it's not done in a way that a tourbillon it is, whether it's going to be fixed on the same axis. Then X is the entry. So I remember when we launched Freak X in 2019, people say, but you are killing the Freak, you know, and it's not possible to have a Freak of like 20, 25,000 Swiss franc. It's one of the best decisions we made. Because we made the Freak more accessible. We had in mind to make a Freak a collection. And if you have a collection, you know, that starts at like, you know, 100K, you don't really talk and you don't have an opportunity for people to experience the Freak. So I think FreakX is good. It's the only one with a crown, so it's a kind of hybrid movement between the Carousel and the 118 caliber, the manufacturer caliber you have in the Marine and divers. Purists will say it's not 100% a Freak, all right? So if you want the big deal, it's a Freak One. The watch that won the GPSG in the iconic category last year, the Freak One, and Freak is an icon. And it is really true, the Freak One is really true to the first generation of the Freak. So you don't have, any hands, a dial, but also no crown. Yet it's automatic. It's powered by the revolutionary automatic winding system called the Grinder. It's the most effective winding system, automatic winding system in the industry. It was launched in 2017 in the Concept Watch InnoVision 2. It's beautifully executed. It's slightly bigger. It's the first watch, the Freak One, actually, it's the one that I'm wearing now, that comes on an integrated rubber strap. I absolutely love it. And it's only 12 millimeter high, so it really fits and sits well. It's also a watch that you will set. You will set the time through the bezel. And then the Freak S is sitting at the top of the pyramid of the Freak collection. It's one of the most complicated movements we ever created. It is, to me, by a sense, the most complicated time-only watch because you've got hour and minute, same as the Freak X and Freak One. But it's powered by the Freak S movement, which is the only double oscillating organ movement being automatic. So you've got two fully independent escapements. They are regulated by a differential, like in a car differential, you know, that will average the speed of the wheels depending on your turn. It's the same here. It will average the speed of the two escapements. It's a component which is highly technical. We created that component with a company called MPS that usually manufacture artificial hearts. So needless to say that the beat of that heart will never stop, at least the one of the Freak S. And last but not least, interesting to see that most of the components are making a revolution because you've got 373 components, out of which 344 are moving within the watch. So the only few parts which will be fixed will be, you know, some of the case components. And last but not least, I absolutely love the Freak S Nomad because it is, for me, the best combination of high-tech and low-tech, or high technology and craftsmanship, because what we've done on that one is that the hour disc, which is playing the role of the dial, you feel it's a dial, but it's not. We've managed to have done a handmade guilloche. So one of the most ancestral métiers d'art in one of the most advanced in terms of technology watch on the market.
So for those that are less familiar with Ulysse Nardin's history, if I remember correctly, the Freak was launched in
2001.
Yeah. So 23 years ago. And if you think about it, dear listeners, if MBNF and Ulrich are 25, 26 years old, Ulysse Nardin is bang in the middle there when nobody wanted, knew, or loved these watches. Now, I love the Freaks. The S is for those Star Wars and Trekkie fans, because basically you have a spaceship here.
Indeed, the inspiration was a spaceship, was a drone. So the movement has a shape of a drone.
So I'm describing the watch. So that also speaks to me, because those that are listening to the podcast know I'm a huge Ulrich and MBNF fan and a Freak fan. That's why I had the Freak X and not the 1S yet. Question for you. I also love resonance movements. Is this a resonance in the end with these two balance wheels, or they don't resonate in the sense like F.P. Joon and Armin Strom create resonance movements?
In fact, in here, what you need to understand is this is different in a way, like they work independently. And it's a differential, which is very specific on that one, that will average the speed of the two escapements to make a frequency of 2.5 hertz. So I don't know how exactly will work and operate, you know, the François Paul Journ or the Armstrong watch, but this is pretty unique because I think you don't have a similar differential that you find, you know, in the car, functioning.
Last question, because we know you need to move on to another meeting. You gave a very emotional, I would say, or emotive at least, story about how you first found your way into watchmaking as a young person. What advice would you give to anybody that is similarly inspired as you were in your teens if they wanted to pursue a career in this industry?
You know, I've got somebody that wrote to me lately on Instagram, and he said, you know, I've seen your video with Nico. I absolutely, you know, love you, and I'd love one day, you know, to work in the industry. I think first and foremost, what's good about what we do is, you know, if you really love watches, if it's one of your passion, you have to pursue and find a way to work in that industry. Then you have to understand whether you are more, I would say, kind of engineer background. And then definitely working for an integrated manufacturer would make sense in the industrial part. If you are more into the marketing and sales background, you know, if you look at the value chain of a watch company, sales and marketing are highly important, you know, engaging with the final consumer. And therefore, I would engage, you know, people to really start from the very beginning. You know, even myself, I did a pretty good business call in France. And my first job was just being a rep with my suitcase. Walking in Paris with my suitcase full of Zin watches, you know, knocking on the doors and trying to sell my watches. So you have to learn it from the very beginning.
Perfect answer, perfect interview, perfect watch. Really, a great experience. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us, and I can't wait to have you on the show for a full interview in the near future.